there's people by themselves. It's 2 o'clock and they're having a cocktail and having a cheeseburger or whatever. And where are their friends? Should we go talk to that guy? I got this dark feeling. And Seth is the guy's name. He went, oh, man. He said, you know, I come in here all the time. He said, they're just looking for Jesus. I said, yeah, but they're looking in the bottle. And he went, ah, write that down. I said, got it. I got it with my phone and put it in my notes. And we actually wrote it.
Welcome to the Lead Like Jesus podcast. This is Karen Conley, and I'm in studio today with my husband, Chris Conley, who serves as a trustee for Lead Like Jesus. I always talk about how we are here to equip and inspire leaders around this country, and today we have the privilege to heavily lean into inspire. So, Chris, share with our podcast audience who we have in store for today.
I've got a great friend of ours that's with us today, Joe Leathers. Joe, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. This is an honor.
Well, Joe is a unique guy in the sense that he's kind of got two careers. But what's so fun about Joe is he's got this responsible career so that he can pursue a dream. And the dream is the dream of songwriting. Joe is an incredible songwriter. I want to give you just a little bit of the background of some of the things that he's written that you've probably heard. If you're a country music fan like I am, some of these you're going to love. But Joe has written Tough by Craig Morgan, Where I'm From by Jason Michael Carroll, Tim McGraw's Still, Steve Holy's Love Don't Run. He's written for Kenny Chesney. Joe, one of my favorites, I love Jesse James. I love that song, all right? He's written Nashville Without You, Tim McGraw. So there are some incredible songs that you need to go look these up if you don't have them. But you're going to also hear kind of the heartbeat behind the song. You're going to hear the story behind the song. And we're going to just learn a little bit about why is it that music inspires us so much. As we talk about this, I told you a little bit earlier, Joe's kind of got two careers. By day, he works for a New York-based investment firm in fixed income sales. But by night and weekends, he's writing music, playing music. He is singing the songs that you hear on the radio. That's who's with us today. Joe Leathers, one of the most likable dudes I know.
Chris, because I am the responsible one of the two of us, that's the hat I wear. I'm supposed to keep us on track and all these kinds of things as we do this podcast. And one of the questions that someone like me, a type A personality, might ask is, well, why would you have a songwriter on a leadership podcast? And I know that you have an answer for that. So tell us why it is that this audience needs to listen to the story and the message that Joe's life represents.
Because people who are in leadership are full of responsibility. And sometimes we have so much responsibility that it's heavy, it's burdensome, it drains us. And we need people like Joe, we need artists to fire us up and give us inspiration. And we need to learn from the different types of leaders out there. And so I think Joe is an incredible picture of leadership because he's found a responsible way to pursue his dream and of expressing his talent where he's able to provide for his family with the stability of working at a New York-based investment firm, but then he's able to pursue his dream in songwriting. And so that requires a certain amount of leadership that we can learn from. All of us have our careers, and some of us are lucky enough for our career and our dream to be one and the same.
Joe, love to hear a little bit about your backstory. Tell us a little bit about your family and maybe the primary influences in your life growing up.
Grew up in and around the Memphis area. Mom and dad, brother, typical middle-class American family. We hunted and fished, and my brother and I played sports. We're involved in as much as we could be involved in just because we loved it. It was interesting because my father is a primitive Southern Baptist. My mother is Catholic. Her relatives on my grandfather's side, her father, are some of them are Jewish. So we had this interesting dynamic as we were growing up through this process. I went to Catholic schools. My influences were wide and varied by a lot of different people. But the people that I really remember are my parents, of course. But outside of that, my coaches and teachers and some of the people that molded me to be who I was supposed to be. A lot of times I hit the mark. A lot of times I've missed the mark. But I still have a conversation with one of my high school football coaches about once a month. A lot of times it's via email or whatever. He's in Florida right now. He's been down there semi-retired, but we still have conversations because I still thank him for teaching me that it's not just about this football game or this sport that we're playing. I'm trying to teach you to be a man. He tried to teach us you're a leader. If you're going to lead, lead. If not, then let somebody else do it and at least follow him. Those are the people that were my primary influences, and an English teacher who was mean, strict, and but gave me a love for words and poetry and writing, and that's sort of where a lot of that started. So I guess that's where it started.
Well, as you talk about those influential people, as you said, your parents obviously primarily, but I think about teachers and coaches, and I think about our children who are teenagers. You yourself have three beautiful daughters and a son. As this podcast is being heard by many people with leadership skills in all realms of music industry and corporate world, moms at home, I hope that we never forget that opportunity to influence the next generation and to realize that leadership is, those of us who have a leadership gifting, which all of us do, that we can impart that to the next generation.
So, Joe, you mentioned some interesting influences from the perspective of Primitive Baptist, Catholic, and Jewish. How did all those influences come together where you came to a place where you saw who Jesus Christ was for you personally?
Oh, gosh. It's funny. I mean, I can still remember going. My dad grew up in Hardeman County, Tennessee, which is an hour-ish from here. I would remember going to church with him when I was really young. And it was Brother Chris and Sister Mary and short sleeve white t-shirts and little thin ties. And it was rigid, man. I mean, I'm talking really rigid. So I was a little afraid of it. You know, I knew it was serious. I'm pretty sure my dad has King James memorized. I mean, seriously memorized. And, you know, my mother, I guess, as mothers and women can do, I don't want to use the word one, but, my brother and I ended up going to Catholic schools and Catholic church with her. We'd go with her on Sundays when we were in town. Sometimes we'd go with my dad, but usually with her. I don't know why that worked out. I never asked the question. I just know that we did. So I saw that experience with my father at his church, and then I saw that grew up in 12 years in Mass, went through the catechism classes and that whole thing, and I understood. I got the shame and the guilt thing and saw my uncle, Uncle Irv, who was a clothing salesman in New York and Ohio, and he was Jewish. So we would visit them, and they're speaking Yiddish, and this whole thing was swirling. And I got it early. You know, I got it that I believe in God. I know what God is. I understand the Bible. I was trained, you know, the classes that you go through and Sunday school and all that. But met my wife, and she was – I had no longer been going to the Catholic Church, just for a lot of different reasons. She was Methodist. I had been going to a non-denominational church. I wasn't going to ask her to convert to Catholicism, and she wasn't going to ask me to be Methodist and what, you know, whatever the label that was going to be. So I decided, you know, in my early 20s, I've got to figure this out for myself. I'd been widely exposed to, you know, a lot of different influences, but when it came to the Bible, I just grabbed it. I called a cousin of mine who is actually now a preacher. He said, well, you've got to read Systematic Theology by Wayne Grudem.
Yeah, Wayne Grudem. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So I read through the Bible a few times, and people who mentored me along the way and asked a lot of questions and went through the 5 points of Calvinism and predestination and got all those tackled and buried and scratched off all those boxes.
Well, you're the only one that understands it.
And, no, I don't understand it. I still don't. Well, a guy explained it to me. He said, you get to heaven, there's a sign. It says, you were chosen. And on the other side, you get through, it says, all are welcome that day. And I was like, okay, well, you didn't really explain it. But so anyway, I took on that task and just figured it out for myself. Never finished the systematic theology. I just could not. It was, my head was exploding. So I just got to the point where I figured out that I am saved by grace and grace alone. My sin is at the foot of the cross still. Nothing I can do to make God love me more. And once I got to that point, I just had this sense of freedom that I get it. I got it now. Okay. And Jane was a little ahead of me, as women a lot of times are. It's funny how the woman can lead without really thinking she's leading. That's where it happened. I don't have one of these July 27th of, you know, 1984, I was saved. I don't have that date. I don't remember not being around church and the Bible.
But what I love about it is what you just described, and what I know to be true about you, is you're kind of a practical theologian, so to speak. Yes, you read all of that, but you understand theology from the common man's perspective. Kind of like we talk about a Monday morning quarterback. You have more truth that you have processed that truth, but then you can say it in simple ways. And when you just presented the gospel just a moment ago, it was clear and it was simple. Oftentimes we make the things of God far too complex and far too difficult. One of the things we're going to talk about, one of the things I love about your music is you are able to take some truths that originate in the Bible, some truths that originate with the person of Jesus, but you communicate them in these non-churchy ways, non-preachy ways, and you communicate them in a way that's timeless. Probably not many pastors will say this, but it is frequent that when I'm doing my sermon prep, I have a playlist on iTunes that I've just called Joe Leathers. And it's every song that Joe Leathers has written that he sent me or that I've bought. Okay,
you got to get out more.
No,
we got to expose you to more music.
It is not infrequent that as I am preparing messages, that some truth that you've written in a country music song will bring me to tears.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Well, it's the same thing in your sermons, and this is just the truth. I'm not saying this because of what you just said, but I keep a notebook and write down things that – I don't write every note in every sermon. I'm not that guy, but I take notes, and things that inspire me or things that make me tear up or choke, I write those down, and there have been songs that have been born from that. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty about inspiration is you just have to pay attention because you never know where it's going to come from.
All right, so I've got this interesting question for you. In the world of being a songwriter, as a songwriter, you've got to go and test these songs out with audiences. So you've played in a lot of bars and stuff like that. Sometimes people have these worlds that they don't intermingle. They put God in boxes and stuff. And people have a hard time figuring out, well, I mean, how can you be this Christian that writes country music? And how can you sing in these bars and all this kind of stuff? And I want to ask you this question. What have you learned about Jesus and about who he is and about how powerful he is from honestly singing in bars, singing country music, writing country music, and watching people, because you are a great observer of people?
Well, it's funny you say that, because a lot of inspiration that we get as writers is just from observing people. Go to Walmart on a Sunday at 3 o'clock and find the longest line you can find and stand there. You're going to be inspired.
I avoid those lines, Joe.
One way or another. I just wait. I let people go ahead. And y'all go ahead. Playing in bars and being around artists that are in the business and being in Nashville, it's a wide, wide world of whatever you want is out there. It's easy to go that way, seek that pleasure because, you know, that's fun.
Sure.
Gosh, these guys, you know.
Sin wouldn't be sin. It wouldn't be tempting if it wasn't fun.
Right. But what I've seen a lot of times is that as I'm at these events or with my buddies, a lot of times, like before a co-write or before a show, I've got a real good buddy named Lee Bryce. Mm-hmm. I go on the road with him and write all the time. And before a show, we'll sit down with Lee and the band, not every show, but because those things are frantic, man. It's a time thing and it's worse than Karen's, you know, managing that clock. And we'll pray. And there are people that you can tell that are really uncomfortable with Jesus. Not necessarily Jesus, the guy, the man, the person, but the concept of, wow, I just had a shot of Jägermeister. Can I pray after I just had a shot of Jägermeister? Of course you can pray after you had a shot of Jägermeister. Especially after you've had two, pray again. You know, no, but people are a little bit afraid of it. And yeah. They look at me, and I had a friend of mine that, and I'm not a minister, but they asked me to marry him just because I'd been around him for so long on the road. And I said, his name's Colt. I said, Colt, that blows me away and chokes me up, but I'm not a pastor. I can't marry you. He goes, oh, yes, you can. You're the only guy.
Wow.
And I think that was only because I was seen on the road around all of this stuff that goes on, and these rock stars, you know, which is what they are.
Sure.
They know that I have a heart for Jesus and that I follow the Lord, but they also know that I'm just a dude. I'm not going to beat them over the head with a Bible.
My favorite songs that you've written is Jesus in the Bottle. Tell us a little bit about the story behind that song, or give us some of the lyrics of that song so that people can kind of understand what we're really talking about here.
Well, I was with a buddy of mine in Los Angeles. I had just landed at LAX and was going to meet him for lunch, and then we were going to go, right, he's a pop guy. Pop music is what I mean, not necessarily a country radio guy, and he's fantastic, amazing, and big heart for the Lord, too. Crazy. Actually, he's influenced me in a lot of ways. We go in this, it's not a bar, but it's a Fridays, but it's a, not a Fridays. It's a private thing, whatever, mm-hmm. Chris's Wings yeah, yeah. or whatever.
Not a chain.
And it's 1:30. And it's we decide we'll just sit at the bar, and we sit at the end of the bar down by where the waitress station is, and we're having whatever we're eating. I don't know what we're eating. And, you know, I was looking around and just noticing that there's people by themselves. It's 2 o'clock, and they're having a cocktail and having a cheeseburger or whatever, and where are their friends? Should we go talk to that guy? I got this dark feeling, and Seth is the guy's name. He went, oh, man. He said, you know, I come in here all the time. He said, they're just looking for Jesus. I said, yeah, but they're looking in the bottle. And he went, oh, write that down. I said, got it. I got it. Where's my phone? I put it in my notes. And we actually wrote it. It turned out, we're very proud of it. It'll never make country radio because it touches on too many things that radio is afraid of. But I don't care. It was truth.
The lyrics are phenomenal. All they really want is love. All they really want is truth. All they really want to do is find redemption in 90 proof. All they really want is hope. All they really want is grace. So they drink a drop thinking they'll find it at the bottom, but they're all here looking for Jesus in the bottle.
And they don't know it.
Mm. Mm.
Joe, as I'm sitting here listening to the two of you and realizing just how both of you are such inspirational people, tell us about the journey for you to, you can be an inspirational person and it not come out of somebody in songwriting. What compelled you to write? What compelled you as a storyteller?
You know, it's interesting that you say I'm inspirational. I don't see that in myself at all. I guess that's how life is a lot of times. But that's awesome that you would say that. I'm flattered. But I can remember as far back as I can remember, wherever we were, if there was an instrument, I was going towards it before someone stopped me because I was going to break it. I was going to try and play it. Really young, I guess 7, 8, I started playing drums. Probably 12, started playing guitar. By the time I was 13, I was in bands. Never stopped that. But I think I was 13 years old, 14, not older than that. And sat in my parents' playroom on a banana yellow beanbag and wrote a song, and I don't know why. I sat down with my guitar one night by myself, and I never stopped. I wish I could tell you it was because of this or that, but it was just in me, and it had to come out somehow.
Who were the people that were the artists or the songwriters that as you begin to develop who you were as a musician and as you begin to write a little bit and all of a sudden there had to be that thought of, you know, I might be pretty good at this. Who were the people that inspired you? Who were the people that you learned from?
Songwriters,
mm-hmm.
You mean? You know, it's and I studied songwriters after I decided I really like this. I want to be good at it. I went and bought a big catalog of every Beatles song because they're the guys, you know. I mean, gosh, and I've told people this, I get questions all the time, everything you ever want to know about songwriting form and structure, go read the Beatles catalog. It's all there. They're amazing. Certainly the Beatles, Jackson Browne, huge fans of some of the Southern rock bands, even though they're not Skinner, those type bands, they're not necessarily revered for their songwriting. Their songs were amazing at the time that they recorded them. What they did was groundbreaking, a lot of those guys. Kris Kristofferson. There's a guy named Walt Wilkins who's in Texas now who will go down at some point as a great American poet. He's amazing. Guy Clark. Just the masters and songs that would inspire me. I would hear a line and go, whoa, where did that come from? So I'd go back and find the lyric and read through it and go, okay, now I get what he was saying.
So you definitely, as I'm listening to you tell your story, you went and got Wayne Grudem's book. You went and got you're a learner. You're someone who takes in a lot of information. What have you learned in terms of a song? What helps a song resonate with people?
To me, okay, we can sit here, the three of us right now, and write a 3-minute ditty about something, some little pop thing. Pull a word out of the sky, we can write a song about it. I guarantee you we can do it. And that's fun. But for me, it's inspired writing. It's from the heart. It's something that people have felt, either made them laugh, made them cry. It still hurts. They still have a scar from it. They got a tattoo from it. The things that really make you stop and say, I mean, I've been on driving and pull off on the side of the road when I've heard a particular song and stopped and said, how did he know that was me that day? It's like when you hear a sermon sometimes, you expect Chris to go, and Joe Leathers, listen, you just, you know that he has, through his research for that particular sermon, he's gone and found things that are from the heart and that people feel. And it's, if it's not true and if it's not real, I'll write it, but just because that's my job.
Joe, you know, as I listen to you talk about what makes a song resonate, one of the things that you said was that there's powerful emotions, and sometimes it's a pain in life, or sometimes it's a memorable moment. As we kind of come to the close of this podcast, there's a song that I think resonated with countless women across this country that you wrote called Tough.
Yeah.
Tell us the story behind that song that Craig Morgan recorded for you.
Well, I was writing with a buddy of mine, Monty Criswell. Monty's a great writer. Usually you sit down, you show up, and you're in a room, couches, piano, you know, it's all about the vibe, right? It's got to be a cool room. So, and we were just talking about, hey, catching up, how you doing, what are you doing? And it was one of those days where I just found out that a friend of ours had been going through chemo, and she was okay for a while, and then she's going to have to go through it again. You know, I was a little upset about it. Not upset like boo-hoo, but dadgummit, I hate this for them and the family, and I know the family. My kids know their kids and that thing. I was telling Monty about that. He said, I got the same. There's a girl at our church. Same thing, man. I said, I know. And isn't it crazy how, you know, if it were me, I'd be home in the bed, fetal position, watching ESPN, you know, until I knew that everything was okay. But the women get up, make the breakfast, get the kids to school, go to the gym, go to the bank, go to the everything. And he said, yeah, and I thought I was tough. And that's how songs like that are born. And it was all true. It was about ladies that were in our lives that had been going through pretty bad health issues. But in spite of that, they got up, they put on that pink ribbon, put on the wig, and went to church and sang Amazing Grace. That was so overwhelming to watch that happen. As men, we think we're the tough guy. No, not when you've seen women go through that. You're not tough. We wrote it. Craig Morgan recorded it. It made a difference, I think. I got emails from all over the world. People sent me bracelets. I got one bracelet. It was a pink bracelet that had Tough on it and had the ribbon. I don't know how she found my address. I have no idea, because you kind of have to protect that a little bit. But she sent it to me and said, I just want you to know that your song helped my mom, and she was wearing this the day she passed away.
We sat there 5 years ago. The doctors let us know. Test showed she'd have to fight to live. I broke down and cried. She held me and said, it's gonna be alright. She wore that wig to church, pink ribbon pin there on her shirt. No room for fear, full of faith, hands held high, singing Amazing Grace. Never once complained, refusing to give up. And I thought I was tough. I've seen her cry, I've seen her break, but in my eyes she'll always be strong.
How rewarding it must be to know that you have the opportunity, through the talents that God has given you, to make God real, to be in an industry where you are light and people see the light of Christ in you, and then you can use the words that you have been gifted to write to influence and touch people all around the world. So, Joe, we're to the end of our time for this particular podcast, but we just want to thank you for the way that you lead like Jesus. For more information about leadership development training and resources, visit us at leadlikejesus.com. And, Joe, if people want to follow you, how can they follow you and see what you're writing and where you're working these days?
You know, I'm all over social media. Joe Leathers Twitter, Joe Leathers Facebook, Joe Leathers Instagram, and I post live shows and sometimes new songs, and check it out.
Go to iTunes, download his music, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
When it comes to leadership, there is no need to reinvent the wheel. There is a perfect model, and we simply need to follow him. Let the Leader in You show lead like Jesus.